following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. We're so thankful that we serve a God who is almighty, is all-powerful, is all-knowing, and that nothing is a surprise, Lord. I'm so thankful that you have everything planned out for us, that you know exactly the beginning to the end, and you see from way far above, Lord. You see our life as this timeline, and these things that happen, Lord, are just this blip in the middle of it. And I don't want to make it sound small, Lord, but we thank you that you see the big picture, Lord. And we do want to pray for every family, Lord, that's involved in this tragedy that happened yesterday in Boston, Lord. I pray for these parents now that are missing one son. And I pray, God, that you would be with them, that you would comfort their hearts, that you would draw them to you, Lord. And if they don't know you, I pray, Lord, that they would come to you. And that all of the doubt and the confusion of how could something like this happen to such a little guy, Lord, I just pray that you would bring people to them who are able to give them the answers and the hope in you. And I do pray, Lord, for those who are still in the hospital, who are injured, who have lost limbs, who have just horrific injuries, Lord. We just, God, we pray for comfort. We pray for the doctor's guidance in surgeries and all of these things that they're now inundated with, Lord. I pray that you would give them wisdom on how to treat it. I pray for the families that will now be walking through a long process of recovery with their family members, Lord. And we know that you have it all under control, Lord. I pray that you would help these people to not escape our minds after today is over, but that we would continue to be praying for them because their lives are absolutely changed from this moment. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember them in our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, that you are still God, that you have not changed, that you are still on your throne. You still have a plan to restore people to yourself. And I pray that you would help us all to remember that. And we do pray also, Lord, for my parents going off to Israel and the team, Alan and Billy, Lord. God, give them traveling mercies. Give them safety while they're there. I pray, Lord, that they would truly enjoy this time there, seeing where you walked. And just what an amazing opportunity. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't jealous. And we just thank you, Lord, that they get to go. I pray that you would bring them back safely with just stories of your work. And we also, lastly, Lord, want to pray for the Breaking Through Conference this weekend. I pray, God, that you would move in a mighty way, that all of these girls would walk away being changed. I pray that they would realize that they do not have to walk the way the world tells them they should, but that there is a better way. And I pray for all people involved, Lord. I do pray for the worship and the teachings and the just everything that's involved, Lord. Even the lunch, the time when they get to sit and just really get to know one another. I pray that you would move in a mighty way, that you would change lives, that you would bring hope, Lord, and give them a new future. And we thank you again for this study, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me. Just let me be your vessel, Lord, because this is your word, and it's so holy and pure, and I'm so unholy and impure, Lord, and I just thank you that you can even use people like me. And we just pray that you would go before us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Whew. Now we're all prayed up. Now we're ready. All right. So how was everybody's week studying 2 Corinthians 10? Great. Well, were you guys here last week? You had an in-house. Did you study it in-house? It was like a potluck. What us ladies like to do. I love potlucks because people always bring their best, you know, it's not just like, oh, here's this thing I threw together. No, 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 it's your best. well, I mean, usually, I would hope. Teresa's gluten-free what? Peanut butter oat balls. Well, now I want some peanut butter oat balls. Well, it was really cool, kind of, last week, and it's so funny because I was telling a friend of mine, I said, man, it just before anything. And you guys know I lead worship pretty much every weekend and every Wednesday. And usually before ministry, there's always spiritual warfare. So if I'm doing that every week, there's always spiritual warfare. But there is anyway. I'm not saying I have it worse than anybody else. But man, the last month has just been a doozy, like so, so bad. I'm like, Lord, help it to light. I mean, just really intense where I'm like, debilitated, like, I can't even do this. I can't even move forward. And just, you know how you feel like the moment you have to stop, something happens. Well, last week, I think it was, what day was it, Bethany, that I went up to Oakland? What was it? Thursday, Friday, I don't remember. My daughter had a field trip. I did not know that she needed to be there early at school. And she had to be there early at school. But I found out later that we literally missed the bus by like 2 minutes. And she wasn't just going to LA, she was going to Oak Glen to go to this apple orchard place to see a Civil War reenactment. And she was so excited, and I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And before I came, it was a Friday, I remember, because I was like, should I get my workout clothes on and go work out, or should I get dressed and go to the women's study? What should I do? What should I do? And I was like, oh, I'll just work out. I really need to work out and just spend the day, you know, for myself. And I get to school, and I was livid. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was like, because we walked into the office, and I said, did the buses leave? And they said, oh, yeah, they left. And they left early. And Emmy, my 11-year-old, in the office goes, I told you. And I go, no, you didn't. Let's go step outside just for a quick minute. I was like, I'm sorry, what? So we talked for a minute, and I thought, you know, it's not like I have a lot of plans. I like to get away for a little while. I love to just drive, even if I have nowhere to be, just kind of escape for a little while. So we drove up to Oakland, and it was amazing. I can't say it was amazing, because then I had to get gas. And I was like, great, I don't have enough gas to get up to Oak Glen now. And it's 8 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm being honest with you guys. This was how I was being, okay? This is me. Great, now I have to get gas. Awesome. My 11-year-old is in the seat right next to me as I'm like, oh, well, awesome. This is great. So now I have to go do this, go all the way to Oak Glen. It's really far. It's an hour and a half away. And then I get to the gas station, and there's this car that's using the gas spot as a parking spot. You know, they just stay there and then browse. Mom, what are you browsing for in there? Pick up your Doritos and go. So then I finally just go around, and I'm like really not being a very good mommy at the moment. And I find my pump, and the card thing won't work. And I'm all, you gotta be kidding me. So I go inside and ask them if I can have $50 on pump 2. So she rings it up and gives me the receipt, and it says $15. And I'm like, I actually wanted $50, 50. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I just kind of glance outside, and my little 11-year-old's just kind of like got her head down. She's super sad. She's like, I'm ruining my mom's day. I've told her basically that she's ruining my day. So if there was any doubt, I just cleared that right up for her. So I'm pumping the gas thinking, okay, Lord, the Lord just stopped me and was like, are you kidding me right now? Quit it. Like, stop. It's not like any of this is a surprise. And I'm thinking, since the dawn of time, you knew that I would get my daughter to school late, and now we have an hour and a half of undivided time. Undivided? Yeah. Uninterrupted time. For sure, uninterrupted. Just this, driving, missed a freeway. It was just hilarious. So we got back in the car, and I prayed. I said, you know what, baby, none of this is a surprise. God just gets to give us, you and me, our own time together. So it was great. We got up there. I dropped her off. She didn't want to hang out with me the whole day. She's like, okay, my friends are here. Thanks, Mom, you know. And so I went a little farther up and found this apple orchard that was basically deserted. And the girl said, oh, there's some hiking trails back here. Remember, I put on my workout clothes. And I was like, well, I guess I just, whatever, just I can't work out now and da-da-da. But I did. I went on this 2-hour hike by myself. I was terrified because as I'm walking out, there's these signs for bears, rattlesnakes, and mountain lions. Mountain lions. And I'm like, great. So now I came out here to get eaten by a mountain lion. Great. So the whole I like being outside. But I'm not a Girl Scout. So I'm walking along the trail like, you know, like there's a bee that goes past me. And I'm thinking, I know there's a mountain lion stalking me. I know there is. So it was tense, but it was my opportunity to pray. Lord, even in this walk, show me that I don't have to fear. Show me that you've got my back, that you can protect me from a mountain lion that's not even in the bushes. I mean, there's like school groups, you know, and stuff like that. So it was a great time where the Lord just got to get me away, and I can't say anything profound happened, but it was just my opportunity to just stop and like shut my mouth for a little while and just realize that God had to get me that far away from my life to just make me stop, and I needed it to prepare for this. And then I look through the chapter, and it's talking all about how we walk in the flesh, but we don't war against the flesh. And I'm thinking all these things, and I'm going and going and going and fighting and fighting and fighting. And God just needed me to stop. So we can actually get into the chapter now that I'm done telling you about my life. Anybody else want to share? Well, as I was studying this, I was sitting down yesterday and thinking, I feel like I should go through it backwards. And I'm like, why would I go through it backwards? But I really feel like the Lord wants us to go through it backwards. So we're going to go through it backwards. Walk with me backwards. Let's moon. Bethany can do a really awesome moonwalk, but I won't make you do it. First off, I want to look at Paul's authority. Where is his authority to tell them these things? Why should they listen to Paul? So turn to Acts 9, and we're just going to look at this really briefly, just so we kind of frame it out, because he talks a lot in this chapter about his authority and how he doesn't really want to boast in it, but he has it. So chapter 9 of Acts, verses 15 and 16. So you'll remember, before Paul was Paul, he was Saul, and he was persecuting Christians, wanting to kill them, murderous threats against them. God stops him on the road to Damascus and makes him blind and brings him through a series of events to this place, to Ananias. And the Lord speaks to Ananias and tells him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to hear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So that right there, that's Paul's authority. That's Paul's calling. God has given him his authority to what? Bear his name. That's his authority. That's all of our authority. We all have been given a call by the Lord, but it's by the Lord. We have to realize that we have a call to go out, but it's from the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's all I want to talk about, his authority, because that's where it's at. So then go to, you know what? I'm just going to read through the whole chapter first. Verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down, strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider that in himself, that just this, consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will be also be indeed when we are present. Verse 12. For we dare not, I love this verse because it makes you go, huh? Verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves by they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Huh? We'll get there. We'll get back to that. But it's supposed to sound ridiculous. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. There's that authority again. A sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority is not extended to you. For it was you that we came with the gospel of Christ, to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Verse 18, remember this. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So if we look at verse 8, it says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, so if I'm going to say, look, I've got authority, this is what the Lord has called me to do, which the Lord gave us for your edification and not for your destruction. We're trying to build you up. Do you guys see kind of what they're attempting to accomplish through this chapter? Is there's a lot of like this going on among the people that they're talking to. Like, well, I don't like the way he talks when he's here, and I don't like this. No. And judging, and that whole verse that we'll get to in verse 12 about the ourselves, themselves, judging themselves within themselves, by themselves, for themselves. What? So to me, I read this chapter as a lot of this. And honestly, there's a lot of this within churches. Lots of this. And so it's something that he's trying to accomplish by being humble, but also saying, let's not forget that we're here because God called us to be here. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that making sense? I'm here because God called me to be here. If I got up on the stage and was like, I'm here because I'm the best, then I'm not obeying my calling. If I get up there and just am like, let's praise the Lord together, we're all exactly the same. That's my calling. My calling is to lead, yes, but to not establish myself as any better than anybody else. And I feel like that's what these people were thinking Paul was doing. Does that make sense? Assuming and saying, oh, I know what his heart is. I know what his motives are. Don't we do that sometimes? That's how we tend to judge each other. We're like, well, she probably thinks that she looks great in those pants, but I would look better in those pants because my legs are smaller than hers or whatever. I mean, we do it all the time, regardless. At the potluck, she thinks her corn casserole is so much better than my corn casserole. I mean, it's these little things and they get in, but then we look down about bringing all of our thoughts into captivity, right? Our thoughts get away from us. If I'm not careful, I am in a completely other land in like half a second. Doesn't it boggle your mind how quickly you can go down a road of anything? Tragedy. Hey, I mean, I can picture my kids going on a field trip. I hate when they go on field trips without me. It makes me crazy because all I can think about is the bus getting in an accident. And within a second, I can be at their grave. And it freaks me out. And I have to go, okay, Lord, you love my kids more than I do. You love my kids more than I do. You love my kids more than I do. So anyway, taking all those things into captivity. So then he talks about how, like I said, they're for their edification, not for your destruction. Don't misjudge our motives. We're here for you guys. We're here to give you hope, not to judge you. And verse 14 says, for it was you that we came to with the gospel. We're not overextending ourselves. We're here under the authority of Christ to give you the gospel. So what did this authority allow them to do? Looking again at verse 8, it allowed them to edify them, to build them up. That's what the gospel, yes, the gospel is meant to convict us, of course. Without any conviction, why would we think that we needed the gospel? Without conviction, I think I'm just doing pretty good. Like, I'm awesome. I've got this life thing. I don't need any help. So we need the conviction. But after that, do we need to continue to be beat down? Don't forget. Who condemns us? Satan. The Lord doesn't condemn us. The Lord convicts us, but he doesn't condemn us. It's completely different. Conviction leads you, God's kindness leads us to repentance, right? That's what conviction is meant to do. Condemnation leads us to like, I'm nothing, I can't do this, I can't even follow God. It doesn't matter what gifts I have, he can't even use them. That's condemnation, and that's not from the Lord. So we need to make sure there's a distinction there in our minds. And then he was told in verse 14, he tells them, basically, he says, well, I'm just going to read it for verses 14 to 16. We are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. So what I hear there is like, we really want you guys to get this because we want to keep going. Like, we don't want to sit here and have to hash things out. We want you guys to get this because God wants us to keep going. He wants us to go broader. I mean, my dad keeps talking about go out there and tell people about the Lord. That's broadening your sphere. It doesn't mean that you need to go move to Arizona. You could if God called you. That would be fine. But I mean, like, go out where you are within your sphere. Your sphere of influence is completely different than my sphere of influence. I feel like my sphere is very small. I'm not around a lot of unsaved people within where I work, where I minister. I'm just not. But I'm surrounded by unsaved people at Fresh and Easy and Target and all these other places that I go. And I need to be ready to reach out beyond my sphere, maybe. Is that making sense? Your sphere of influence might be where you work, within your family. Maybe your family's not saved. So God wants us to be faithful within that sphere and then branch out. Like, God might have more and more for you. He does have more and more for you. He wants us to reach out and bring more people with us. We shouldn't be selfish with this, like, I have hope and I'm stoked about this hope. We want to give that to other people. Do you remember what you felt like when you didn't have hope? Because there are people who wake up like that every single morning with that, like, here's another day. It's almost Friday. I can't wait till Friday because then I can go party and let loose a little bit or whatever it is. I remember when my husband worked in the mortgage business. And of course, he wasn't like a part of that crowd. But I mean, there were people who were late 20s, early 30s, still going out and like smoking pot and taking drugs and getting drunk. I'm like, what? Aren't you supposed to have outgrown that at some point? But why would they? There's nothing else better out there in their mind, right? Because that's what people think about. They think, I just got to get through this week and get to the weekend and I'll be fine. But there's hope that we have for them. And so my prayer is that, Lord, help me to just overcome that fear of reaching out to that person at the cash register and getting beyond the, hi, how are you? Okay, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Plastic, not paper, because I'll reuse them. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just more than that. I was at Toys R Us last night getting something that I'll give you guys later. But I was talking to the guy there, and how's your day? Oh, my birthday's tomorrow. And he told me so much stuff, which was great. But as I left, he was like, thanks for talking. And I'm not trying to build myself up, because I got that from my mom, the whole, like, how's your day instead of how are you? Because we all say, good, even though we're, like, crumbling on the inside. But I think people appreciate when you take the time, and even that little moment, because if you have a long line of people behind you, you're not going to sit there and go, so what was your childhood like? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's step aside. But the amount of time that you're given, I can be faithful with it, right? Right. Okay, so we're going to move on. His authority allowed him to edify them and to not tell them, not to destroy them, but it didn't allow him to boast in his own authority. It gave him permission to boast in God. I don't ever want to boast in my own authority because I'm lame. You guys just heard my story of my poor little daughter getting to find out from me that my whole day was ruined and it was all her fault. Like, that's how lame I am. So I think it's amazing that the Lord still uses us and doesn't just go, you know what, we're all done with you. You've done this far too many times. There's so much grace for us. Like, we're just walking around in grace, grace, grace. And we need to remember that. And we need to remember that with each other because all of us are walking around in grace, grace, grace. Because we tear each other down so much, so, so much. So we're going to get to that. I don't want to get into that yet because I've got a plan. Believe it or not, I got a plan. But again, we are all carrying that gospel. We all have that authority that the Lord has given us. He's given us the gospel, and now we're responsible. You know that verse that says, now that I've seen, I'm responsible. I've been given this gospel, this hope. And you don't know what you might give somebody else. In that one day, maybe they woke up and thought, nobody cares about me. This life is just stupid. You've heard countless stories about people who maybe they were going to commit suicide and somebody was like, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you or whatever it is. I mean, I've heard all these stories and I was just meeting with a girl yesterday and she said, I was riding my bike to work and I crashed on my bike and I was like, I'm so sorry. Because you know when you're by yourself and you fall, there's no coming back from that. Like, especially if there's traffic, everybody just saw you and was like, oh, poor girl, poor girl. But she's crashed on her bike. She was by herself. And this guy came up to her and was like, hey, could I? She said she had prayed the day before for more opportunities to reach out. So here comes her opportunity, walking right up. But she said that he asked if he could use her phone. She's like, so, you know, as a girl, you're kind of like, But she said, broad daylight, I didn't feel weird about it at all. That's where the point is. The Holy Spirit will tell you if you're safe or not. So she let him borrow her phone, and he was calling sober living places. And he told her he had just been 2 days sober. And she was like, well, could I just pray with you really quick? So she sat there and prayed with him. And she was like, it's just so crazy because if I hadn't crashed on my bike, I wouldn't have been there right then. And that was my 2 minutes. And I said, and you may never, ever see him again. And you may never, ever know what that one prayer did for him that day. You guys have things, stories in your mind that come up where you're like, I remember this one day, like I was just done. And somebody came up to me and they just said this one thing. Didn't necessarily have to be an hour and a half lunchtime that they spent with you, but just a few words or somebody who takes the time to pray with you. You know what I mean? And especially, I mean, think about being sober for 2 days. You're like in the grip of it still, trying to push through, trying to like, you're going to have a lot of steps ahead of you. But to have some random girl who crashed on her bike take the time to pray with you, what an impact that had, being faithful with what the Lord gives you. So I think what's cool about this, if we go to verse 12, now I want to talk about this confusing verse. Paul was showing them that he was different than these other leaders, that he was not boasting in himself and deciding who was better among his own group. He was boasting in the Lord. So I'm going to read this again. Verse 12. I'm going to read it slowly because there's a lot of selves in it. For we dare not class ourselves, so I'm esteeming myself as awesome, or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. So Paul's not going to compare himself with other people who commend themselves, who pat themselves on the back. Because that's a completely different mindset, right? Are we there so far? Everybody with me? Okay, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So basically saying, I'm the best one here, or you know what I'm saying? I don't even think I need to explain this, except I do want to tell you guys a story because it made sense to me this way. I take a class at, can I have one of these tissues? Sorry. It's a long way down when these shoes are this high. So anyway, I take a swim class at Golden West College. Did I already tell you guys this last time I was here? Okay. It's funny. It's humbling. Okay. So I take a class at Golden West College. Now, mind you, I grew up swimming. Okay? We went to the pool. We lived in the... Okay? All right? I grew up swimming. Can you tell I'm defensive? So I go to this class at Golden West, and I picture in my mind, I'm going to be swimming because I wanted to get a workout and do something different. And I'm not a very good swimmer, and I knew I wasn't. And I thought, well, I could get better at swimming. Sure, I could improve. So they say, beginners to the slow lane, like to the shallow end, like where the water's up to here on you, okay? And all the other people jump in on the other side. So it's beginner all the way up to advanced in the deepest part of the pool. So I think, well, I'm not advanced. Come on, I don't want to like be prideful about it. I know I'm not advanced, but I'm definitely not a beginner. Like, I can do this. I can handle this. So I start swimming, and I can't handle it at all. Like, I can't even get across the pool because I have no idea how to breathe. I have no idea how to do all these things. So they had this separate coach who was teaching us from the ground up, and I mean like three-year-old level and up. Because I learned that day that I didn't really know how to swim. I just knew how to not drown and get myself to the side fast enough so that I wouldn't drown. So I kid you not, this very first day, we're learning how to float. Okay, and you've got groups of college. I'm not a college age kid, okay? I'm not blending in very well. It's very obvious that I am not the age of that. So already there's that factor. I'm the old bird in the pool, okay? So down the college age, kids are swimming their laps, you know, doing butterfly, and I'm like floating around the pool, and I couldn't even float very well. I'm all floating, I'm floating, I'm floating, I'm floating, I'm sinking, I'm sinking, I'm sinking. I mean, it was hilarious. And I can laugh about it now, but that day I was like, I was just, of course, we're floating with our faces up, which is good to, so you can breathe, but I'm looking up and thinking, Lord, this is hilarious. You have such a great sense of humor. Here I am having to be humbled to do this. But I did get pretty prideful one day towards the end of our semester. Just want to say, I caught on pretty quickly. So one of the last days, he had us get in the deep end and swim and race. And I was the fastest swimmer. But here's my point. I could take that and go, I am the fastest swimmer in the world. Look at me. I'm getting across this pool before this whole class. Mind you, some of them were like barely getting across the pool. So what I'm saying is I'm claiming to be the best swimmer in the beginner class. So next to, you know, Michael Phelps, I would look like a limping turtle, you know. I'm coming. And he's just blowing me away. So that kind of made this verse make sense to me in my own life. This, the way that they were commending themselves would be like me commending myself as the best and fastest swimmer out there. So are we clear on that verse and how confusing it is and how Paul did not even want to be classified with that group? Like this is a completely different class. This is not who I am. Just be clear. I'm not going to be a part of that crew. So what I want to talk about now is knowing your enemy. So who is our enemy? Really? It's not like my husband. It's not that person that doesn't like me. It's not my children. It's not the person who's cut me off in traffic. No, our enemy is Satan. Our enemy is Satan. Our enemy is Satan. Remember that. I have to remember that constantly. I can be a super sassafras, and so I have to remember that I am fighting against the enemy who wants to tear me apart. The Bible says that he is prowling around like a lion, just waiting to pounce on you. Do you feel that sometimes? You're like, ugh, get it off of me, you know? So let's find out about our enemy, what we know about the enemy. He has access to God. Remember the story of Job? Have you ever looked at that story and said, hold on, he goes before God? I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, well, why can he do that? Why is he allowed up there? I don't know, but he is. He has access. He gets to converse with God and say, hey, can I tempt this person? Can I do this? Can I do that? So he has access to God. He has to ask God's permission, though. Remember, he wanted to destroy Job. He wanted to just, of course he follows you, God. He's never not known need. He's never known need. Sorry. He's never known need, so of course he follows you. But let me take everything away. And what does God say? He says, fine, you can do all of that, but you can't take his life. God's rules. Satan is under God's rules. Can you imagine how frustrating that must be for him? We like it. He's a liar, a flat-out liar. He wants me to believe lies. He's a deceiver, not just a deceiver. He's the great deceiver, father of lies. Yes, thank you. So he's the best liar. Have you ever been lied to? Does it make you feel super crummy? Yeah. So that's what he does. He hates God. He hates us because God loves us and will let us be in eternity, and he can't. And he wants to be greater than God. And I think that he knows that ultimately he's not going to win. But he's not going to go down without a fight. He's like that kid who's not going to get that cookie and is just going to throw a fit until he's blue in the face because he doesn't get what he wanted. So that's what his fit looks like, trying to drag us all down. This is the enemy that we're fighting against. He's after us, and we need to recognize that and remember that. And he doesn't want to kill us. I was reading in the Screwtape Letters. Have you guys ever read the Screwtape Letters? When I thought about fighting our own enemy, that book just, it strikes me because I read in those, okay, so Screwtape Letters, if you haven't read it, it's a fictionally based story where there's a, like, commander demon who's, what's the word for, thank you, he's mentoring his nephew. And he's trying to teach him how to tempt somebody, how to get them to come to their side instead of God's side. And his nephew is so excited in this one chapter because his patient, that they call him, is going to war, and he thinks it's awesome. And his uncle is like, what are you talking about? This is the worst place for him to be. Number one, he's closer to God because he's on the front lines. He could die. And number two, if he dies, we lose him because he's following God. So if we're following God and we die, he loses us. He loses us to heaven. He just wants to make our life miserable and wants to pull us away. He wants our allegiance to be for him and not God. So we need to know what we're fighting against. But what do we do? Now that we know who our enemy is, what do we do? If I know that I'm fighting an enemy on my own, am I really going to just put on some boxing gloves and be like, okay, I got this. I can fight this enemy. If Mike Tyson comes in or a better boxer, I don't know who's better these days, I'm not going to just hop in there and fight with him. I'm not strong enough in my flesh to fight him. We're not strong enough in our flesh to fight the enemy. We're not. If we're trying to fight him in our flesh, we're going to lose. Because our flesh is mind power and focus and just, you know, picture what you want and you will have it. No, that's so lame, because my flesh is not about what God wants. My flesh is about what Shannon wants. I want to feed my flesh. My flesh is hungry. It's like that toddler who just wants a snack constantly. Just picture David going out to fight. Did David go out and be like, I got this, guys. I'm the strongest one here. No, what did he say? Anyone? Why did he go out there? Because God was with him. Yeah, he went in the strength of God. There's no reason why a little guy like David should go against a giant like Goliath unless God is with him. That would be ridiculous. So we just need to remember who we're against and that we're not on our own. But David needed to be brave. He needed to step out. He needed to be strong, but not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. So we're going to go to read verses 2-5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we walk in the flesh, but we don't war in the against the flesh. And carnal weapons are not strong. And do you see how it's comparing carnal and mighty? It's comparing these two. So what do we assume carnal is? If you're comparing it with mighty, what would the opposite of mighty be? Weak. So these carnal weapons are weak in this war that we're fighting. It's like me having a water gun in the midst of a huge battle with cannons and bombs. And I'm like, I'm going to get you. Okay? So that's what we're talking about, is mighty weapons. So my husband and I don't think these guys are going to stand up here. Here. Okay. I want a volunteer, Bethany. Okay, he's not going to... Well, I wonder if they'll stand down here. Everybody this morning... Oh, there you go. Is going to leave with one of these toy soldiers in this bucket. So just take them, Beth, and divvy them out. But I need to save some for tonight, but we should be fine. So go ahead. Okay, so as Bethany's passing these out, I'll tell you guys, a few years ago, my husband and I were on a vacation. We went on a road trip all the way from down here, all the way up to Oregon, a road trip with me and him, his parents, and our two little girls. And we came down the coast from Oregon, and we stopped at this beach and randomly found these two toy soldiers buried in the sand. And we were like, super excited. And then another day we were at the beach and we found another toy soldier buried in the sand. And we're like, what on earth is this? And then we found another one, but he's an astronaut, like a weird new one. I don't know what that's about, but they don't fight a battle up there. That is weird. Anyway, so we have this collection of toy soldiers in our house, and I'm always trying to get rid of them because I don't like collection things because they just clutter. But over our door to go out is the one place that I can put them where they're kind of visible but not annoying. So they're up there. And then his dad bought him these three. And instantly when I saw this, I thought about our toy soldiers. And I thought about how we really are at war. And we need to be reminded, because we forget that every day that we wake up, we're really in a war. We're fighting an enemy. And each of you guys is going to take one of these soldiers home. I don't care what you do with it. But use it as a reminder that I am in a war and that I'm not warring in my own strength. I'm warring with the Lord. The Lord is standing for me. Remember what he said to Joshua, be not afraid. And you remember in, is it Genesis or Exodus? Or Leviticus? No, I'm just kidding. It's coming. Exodus 14:14. Hold on. I want to give you guys this. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. So when you don't have the strength, remember, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. Some versions say you need to just stand still. Just remember that, yes, you're a soldier. Yes, you're fighting, but you're not in it on your own. Thank you, Bethany. I'm walking in my flesh every day. I can't get away from it. I'm covered in flesh. It's how I'm created. But the Lord has created us with a need for him. He knows we're not strong enough. And if we don't realize that we're in a battle, we're going to lose. right? If I'm not ready for something that's coming at me, I'm going down. So if I'm not prepared every single day, then I'm just setting myself up for failure. And I do it constantly because we forget. It's not always at the forefront of our mind. And I've got to come up with some way where every morning, maybe there's something on my ceiling. You're in a war. Get ready. Something to remind me, but it doesn't take long for me to be reminded, right? In the first 5 minutes of my day, I could be reminded, oh yeah, I'm in a war. And sometimes that looks like an argument with your spouse. Sometimes that looks like a sticky situation with your kids or needing to get gas and drive really far up to Oak Glen. It could look like anything. Maybe it's taxes. It's your opportunity to step back and stand next to the Lord and say, all right, so here we're going to go. And just look at even those little things, those little sparks can start a fire. So I could have taken the trip up to Oak Glen and the whole time been like, can't believe I'm driving all this way. This is ridiculous. Look at this. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. I can't even believe I'm doing this. I have so many things to do today and I have to study and da, 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 and I'm so important. Me. Or I could listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, shut your mouth and listen for a second, right? I mean, maybe I'm just speaking out of anger of my own self because it makes me crazy that I just do that. And I wish that I could just do that before I open my mouth. You know what I mean? Because you can do so much damage with your words. Anyway, so whatever it looks like, it's the enemy. Whatever form your war comes into, it's the enemy. He's trying to get at you and destroy you. Don't forget that. I'm not trying to make you guys scared because you don't have to be afraid because God's bigger than him and he knows it. And you should know that. You don't have to be afraid. God is with you. And that fear is what keeps us, holds us back in this little like, well, I don't want to do anything too big for God. But God has bigger things than that for us. He wants us to fight. Walking with Jesus is a fight. It's a fight to read your word, right? You get it out and you're like, oh, I really should do those dishes. Oh, I really should do this. Or just, I don't even know what this means. Forget it. It's a fight to walk with the Lord and stay strong and continue in that walk with him. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But it takes strength. Yes, we have our own responsibility to continue walking with the Lord. But in those moments when you can't, you are so not alone. You're really, really not. And from experience to where all I could do at a certain time in my life was read a verse in the Psalms and nothing else, God is with you there. So don't beat yourself up if during your devotion you could not focus that day. God sees your heart. He sees that you want to. And he wants to help you get through that. And that's not to say that you're going to, you know, all of a sudden everything's going to open up because our circumstances don't always change, do they? No. But you get so much closer to God in those moments. So don't beat yourself up if you're having a tough time. That's where the Lord is with you. So I wanted to read verse 4 in the New Living Translation. And sorry, I didn't have it up right here. It's going to take it a second. But does everybody have their soldiers? How many of you chose green? How many chose gray? There's no real. I don't have a point for that. I just, everybody's like, uh-oh, was I supposed to choose gray? Okay, 2 Corinthians. Did I say verse 4? Okay. In the New Living Translation says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Have you guys ever been in a conversation with somebody that is going absolutely nowhere? And you're like, this is ridiculous. We're not getting anywhere. This is crazy. I can't believe we're still sitting here trying to figure this out. I know that there's been times when, you know, my husband and I are having a discussion and we're just like, usually it's like midnight, you know, we're like, this is ridiculous. And at that point, anything is ridiculous to try to figure out. But I mean, those are the kinds of arguments that are just, we're not going to get anywhere with this. We just need to bring the Lord back into this because we kind of kicked him out of the conversation for a little while and we need to let him back in. And even if that situation doesn't get solved, it's okay because you're bringing God back into it. Like, Lord, we are after oneness in our marriage. This is what we're after. We want to glorify you, and we're not glorifying you right now. And we want to honor each other, and we're not honoring each other right now. So that's what our weapons are created to do. Pull down strongholds. What strongholds? The arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing everything into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Everything. So everything I'm doing. Were you guys here last time I was talking about how we said we're always aiming to finish? And the difference is we can either finish well or finish poorly. So if my heart is to take everything into captivity to the obedience of God, how much stronger am I going to be? You know when you do something that you know you weren't supposed to do? You feel like, well, I'll go back to the start again. You know, it's like you drew the go back to the start card in a game. And you're like, oh. Isn't the beauty of it, though, is that the Lord is waiting right there for you. And he's like, I know. I know. And he's not like, I know. Right? Exactly. I know. Here you are again. Right at the beginning. Right where you started. If you hear that, who is that? Satan, you can't go back to the start. You just came from the start, you loony. That wasn't a word. I meant to say loony, but I mixed it with loser, so it came out lunar. Just thought I'd explain my mistake just in case you missed it. But honestly, the point is, we're in this war. You're in a war every day. And I wanted to point this out to you, is that when I was at the When Leaders Lead retreat, did I tell you? I can't remember what I told you guys. That's okay. I'll just go ahead and again. You're like, she always says the same things. When I was saying the last prayer at the end of the retreat, I was praying and saying, Lord, we're your daughters. We're your, just all these things that the Lord calls us. We are loved by you. You sing over us. All these promises that the Lord has for us. And the word soldier kept popping into my head. And I'm like, Lord, I feel funny saying we're your soldiers. But it just kept coming back. And the Lord is like, say soldiers, you are my soldiers. Because this was a leader's retreat, right? So you're in the thick of the battle. And so I just said, Lord, we're your soldiers. And then a woman came up to me afterwards and said, I just feel like we're all soldiers walking together. And so do you know what I pictured as I'm driving home thinking about how we're all in this battle? I pictured all these little toy soldiers all lined up, right, in rows, and the enemy just going, okay, I'll take that one and that one. You know what I mean? Can you picture that in your mind? Because that's what he's doing. He's there trying to just bug us and knock us off the line. And you know when he wants to knock you off the line the most? When you're really strongly walking with God. Because I was thinking this the other day after so much like crazy spiritual attack that I've never gone through. I'm not talking about seeing ghosts. I'm talking about like self-hatred, like in a wicked way that I've never felt before. And if I stood up here and said, I'm always confident in who I am in the Lord, no. We all have our hot button, and my hot button is, you're not good enough. There are tons of people who could do this better than you. And the problem is when we really start to believe it and take it on and own it and wear it. Okay? So that's the enemy going, that one. So when I'm not walking strongly with the Lord, why would the enemy care to get me off the line? But when I'm walking with the Lord, if I'm not under spiritual attack, I'm doing it wrong. I'm not saying that you should feel the same sort of attack that I do, because everybody's form of attack is different. Everybody's little hot button is different, right? But if I'm not facing some sort of, if it's not some sort of a fight for me, I'm doing it wrong. I should have to completely hold strong to the Lord, because there's going to be adversity. There's going to be some conflict when you're going after what the Lord wants you to do. I'm sure, Teresa, you have tons of stories of like, are we really supposed to go to Iraq, Lord? Are you sure? You know? We have some friends in San Diego, and we were just visiting with them, and they are starting a new ministry at their church. And she said, I cannot tell you. They got in a car accident, one car accident. Then they got in another car accident where they're driving on the open freeway and a toolbox flew out of the back of somebody's car and she hit it. And we're like, was there wind? Was it, she'd been traveling behind this truck. And she goes, nope, Satan just picked it up and threw it in the road. And so she's thinking, gosh, maybe we're not supposed to do this. But then she just said that she felt like the Lord was like, no, you are supposed to do this. And the enemy's trying to keep you from it. So just remember that just because sometimes you will face blockages, maybe it's not time to go. I know Susan Masumi, when she was going to go to Iran, I always get you guys mixed up because you look so much alike. Just kidding. When she was going to Iran, there was a moment where she had gotten some warnings. I think it was her sister or something who said, you're not supposed to go yet. The Lord is telling me it's not safe for you to go right now. And that's where you go, okay, Lord, I know that you're powerful enough to show me if this is an attack from the enemy or if this is a warning from you. So just remember that. You have your ultimate commander, and he's going to tell you where you're supposed to step and where you're not supposed to step and where the landmines are. But sometimes, ladies, can't we be the landmines? Because honestly, there's a lot of us who see people get knocked down like that and just keep on walking. I think that, like, it's a really difficult time to be a Christian right now because our world is so jacked up, for lack of a better explanation. It's really messed up. And it's always been messed up. But the lines of what's right and what's wrong are so blurred. So, so blurred. And we can choose to be judgmental or we can choose to be loving. I was at Target yesterday, and I don't know, like, if this is a weird story to tell or not, but I'm going to just tell it because it would just go along with everything else. I was at Target yesterday, you know, when you go for body wash and you end up with everything else. I was leaving and there was a little teenage couple next to me buying a box of protection. And I went, oh, and my heart just hurt. And I was so conflicted with what the world says. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, at least they're being careful. And then I'm going, no, no, that's not right. No. And I'm thinking, I wanted so much. I wish I knew them. Like, I wish that it was a moment where I saw somebody that I knew so I could be like, hey guys, what's up? And like make them rethink it. But they didn't care because that's what the world tells them. And so all I did was like, Lord, whatever their plans are, just make it stop. Like make whatever they're planning on doing, just don't let it happen. Whatever it is, I don't know their names, I don't know who they are, but just somehow protect them. So I can choose to judge them and be like, oh, it's disgusting. I would never do that. Not true. But honestly, I can choose to judge or I can choose to love. And I didn't go up to them and say, I just really encourage you guys to make a better choice because it's not really what God wants for you. Because they're not going to hear that from me. I'm just some random lady at Target. But is it beyond God to take a prayer for a stranger and make something happen? Make them break up, God. Make them. No, I'm just kidding. No. Anyway, that made me sound really awful. But I just think that it's such a war, and we can choose to judge or we can choose to love. And within this group, if this is our group that the Lord has put together, these are the women that you're fighting with. Look around. Go ahead. Look around. All around. These are your comrades. Comrades. But seriously, these are the people that you're fighting with, not fighting against. We all have our own way to do things. We all have our own point of view. But ladies, if we see somebody get knocked down, we're not supposed to leave them there. Even if they get knocked down with something that you would never do, it's our responsibility to help them get back up. It's my responsibility to go over here and pick them up and help them stand again. Or at least to pick them up until they can stand again. Right? If God has called you to reach out to somebody who everybody else is looking down at, please reach out to them. Because there are a lot of people who are not going to reach out because they're embarrassed or everybody knows their sin. Think about the people within our church that are walking in sin right now and coming to church every Sunday and nobody knows about it. Obviously, you can't reach out to those people because you don't know. But what if the Lord calls you to randomly go up to that person and say, hey, I've never met you before. That opens a door. Ladies, there are women in our church who are walking in shame and coming to church every Sunday hoping that they'll just feel better and wishing that somebody would ask them how they are. There was a point in my life where I was really walking in sin and I was still coming to church every Sunday. And I wished that somebody would ask me if I was okay, because all I wanted to do was just cry and say, I'm not okay. And here's what's happening. Because I would rather pour that out to a perfect stranger, because sometimes that feels safer. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, nobody's asking me how I'm doing. I guess nobody cares. And I could have reached out. Yes, I could have reached out. But you know what? Sometimes we're so shamed and guilt-ridden that we can't even look at ourselves in the mirror. So just ask the Lord, Lord, where is my opportunity today? Who can I reach out to? It might be somebody you never, ever call. Who cares? I reached out to somebody the other day who I've, you know, talked to here and there. I didn't even have her number. But I had seen that she seemed upset one day. And I said, this is super random. And it was 2 weeks later, so I felt like a huge jerk because I didn't reach out right then and there. I said, I'm a total procrastinator, and I just feel like you need to know that the Lord loves you and you're perfectly and completely taken care of. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if you did it later than you felt like the Lord wanted you to. You did it at the right time. So I just encourage you, ladies, to take that soldier home and remember that you're fighting, but you're not on your own. Not in a sense of like, thank God I'm not alone, but remember that you're not alone. That girl next to you, she's not alone because you're supposed to be with her. I don't care if you're best friends or not. I don't care if you don't agree with what she says or how her attitude is, because tons of people don't agree with my attitude, and I don't care, sort of. But we're so different, but we're all so perfectly and wonderfully and intimately loved by Jesus. He's not leaving us alone, and we should not leave others alone. And if you're broken and you're hurting and you can't reach out, pray that the Lord would make somebody come to you, because it's not beyond him. My prayer for our church is that we would be such a tight-knit group of people that we would pour into somebody and say, how are you doing today? Because yeah, you feel funny with somebody you've never met. Like, hi, I'm Nancy. How are you really doing today? But that may be what they prayed for. And they may just crumble. Or they may go, I'm good. I have a friend who's always like, yeah, really good, really good. But she's not good. And I'm like, okay, so now tell me how you're doing. But I have a friend who comes to church by herself every week, because her husband's not saved, and she comes to church every week by herself. And I try to sit with her, but sometimes I can't sit with her. And I wish that somebody would see her every week that sits in the same place and sit next to her. You know? You know how much courage it takes to come to church all by yourself when nobody's behind you? Some of you probably know exactly what that feels like, because you probably do that. And I'm sorry for times that people here, I apologize on behalf of people who may have hurt you with their words or who may have ignored you. I apologize, because we're all so flawed and we're all messed up. But there are people in this place who care. And I encourage you and me to be that person who cares. To not be this person that's like, well, I don't like the way they do this, and I don't like the way they do that, and I don't like how he's so bold in his letters, and then he comes here and he's such a coward. Because that's what I hear. That's the attitude I hear in this, and I don't want us to be that way. I want us to see each other in the grace and the love that God has for all of us, because we want that grace, right? I'm not beating you guys up, am I? So are you guys with me on that? That we are in this battle together. It's not about me or my dad or anybody having a higher, like, direct line to the Lord. We all have a direct line to the Lord, and we're all fighting together. So I just encourage you guys to just remember that today. When you take that little guy home, wherever you put him, don't throw him away because I paid for him. If you're going to throw him away, put him back in my bucket. But honestly, just remember that this is us. This is me. I'm fighting. And today I might be down on my knees like this guy. And then another day I may be standing stronger and my friend is down on her knee and she needs me. So pray every day that the Lord, even a little text to somebody, I've sent texts to friends that just say hi, because they need somebody to know they were thinking of them. It doesn't have to be like, let me find the scripture. Sometimes they just want to know somebody cares and somebody sees. So just really pray that the Lord will direct you in this battle. Where do I go next, Lord? Who do I talk to next, Lord? And if you're hurting today, please seek that person out, because everybody in here was just told that they should be that person. So today's the perfect opportunity. So, and if you don't feel comfortable going to somebody else, come to me, because I'm going to hang out up here. And I would be happy to pray with you and happy to love on you and remind you how loved you are by the Lord. So, everybody good? Ready to pray? Okay. So please, if you have anything that you need prayer for, or just want to talk, or you just need a hug, you can come get one from me. Let's pray. God, we come before you, Lord, as your daughters who are thankful, who are humbled that you call us, Lord, and who need you. Lord, and I pray for any brokenness in this building today, any soldiers that are down. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of how much you love us, and that though we're hurt and though we're injured, you haven't forgotten us. I pray, God, that you would lead us to those people, Lord, that we can be truly genuine and honest and straight with and say, I am not okay. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring those who are feeling stronger today, those who are standing in your promise, draw them down to the level, Lord, of those who are broken, that they would reach out and that they would just say hi. I pray, God, that you would remind us that we are in this battle as a crew of your soldiers. And you, as our commander, are all-knowing and all-powerful, and we are not alone. I pray, God, that you would help us to not tear each other down with our words, that we wouldn't tear each other down with our actions, but that we would remember that we are here together. There's no church without the people. And I pray that you would remind us of that, God, that you would help us to walk forward in this job that you have given us, and that an aspect of that job is to love one another. Help us to stand strong as soldiers, God, and guard us against the enemy's attacks. Help us to identify those attacks, Lord, when they come. Help us to remember who our enemy is and that it's not each other. I pray that we would bring everything under captivity of obedience to you. Help us, Lord, as we said a few weeks back, that we would finish well. We don't want to finish well all by ourselves, God. We want to finish well together. Help us to remember that we're a team, that we're all collectively important and needed here, and that we don't want to lose anybody. I pray that you would keep this group that is here this morning, that this would be our core group that would branch out to others that they see and bring them here. Cause this group to grow because there is love. Not because it's cool to be here, but because there is love here and acceptance and joy that is offered. And I pray, God, that you would go before us as we go to our small groups now, Lord. I pray for transparency and honesty and just an overflowing, Lord, of your grace. I pray that we would walk out today in that grace for each other and ourselves, God, that you would just blanket us with whatever we need that's of you today, God. And we do pray again for those families in Boston, Lord, because they're our soldiers too. We walk with them as well, Lord. And I pray that you would help them to be strong, give them the strength that they need to walk through this, Lord. And I pray that you would be glorified and that the numbers of believers would be increased today. And we just thank you, God, again for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.